The West Live. The West Live with Jenna Clark. Brought to you by Neds. Take it to the Neds level. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
WA will soon become the easiest state for Victorians to visit, with travellers not required to get permission before arriving. Joining me now is President of the Australian Medical Association in WA, Dr. Andrew Miller. Dr. Miller, what do you make of these changes that come into effect on November 14 that we heard about last week? How are your charges feeling?
Good morning, Jenna. Yeah, look, we think this is a good step forward to a smarter and more sustainable long-term border. We could be living with this for more than a year to come, possibly even a lot longer than that. So I think we need to get rid of the whole idea of exemptions and people having to convince a police officer that they have a good enough reason to visit the state and just focus on the COVID, which is what it was all about in the first place. So
yeah.
If there's a low number of cases in another state so that it puts them on the same risk level as we are, then it's not unreasonable that they would come here. We would like to see more testing if people come here. At the moment, we're going to be testing everyone from New South Wales and Victoria at day 11 of home quarantine. Don't see any reason why we couldn't ask everyone else who's coming into the state to also have a test on day 11, just pop along to a private pathology lab, make sure we're not missing anything. But for some reason, our government doesn't want to use the big resource of private pathology. I think there's an ideological thing going on there.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, this is a lot more sustainable. That's where we need to be, and our community needs to get ready, COVID fit for the occasional outbreak.
I guess, what do you, to the medical profession, what does a control border mean?
Well, it means that you know who's coming and going,
mm-hmm.
and that you've got some sort of health check in place on the ones who are coming in. Now, people lie about where they've been, and
mm-hmm.
people lie about their symptoms, and that's where a backup test is not a bad idea. And I think also people lie about their quarantine situation, so we're pleased that the Good To Go app was updated so
mm-hmm.
that the police can check on them remotely
mm-hmm.
to ensure that people are where they say they are. But all of these things have holes in them, just like hotel quarantine does of the overseas travellers.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's our responsibility to now be in a state where for the next couple of years, if that's how long it takes to get an effective vaccine or treatment, that we have tracking and tracing in place and things like registering when you go to crowded places,
mm-hmm.
getting used to ventilating stagnant spaces is something we haven't done yet, and getting used to wearing masks on public transport.
Mm. Do you think that we should maybe be picking that up? West Australians in particular should maybe, you know, if you're heading out to a crowded place, wear a mask?
Yes, I think that if you have any sign of a respiratory infection yourself,
mm-hmm.
You should obviously get tested. But if it's just a cold, then and that's confirmed, then by all means, it gives some. I think it's a polite thing to do for other people to not be coughing and spluttering on them.
Yeah.
Even if you've got hay fever, it might make people less likely to feel uncomfortable around you, and that's going to hit us all pretty hard now.
Tell me about it.
Yes, but also just culturally getting used to the idea that masks are one of the things that have set Asia apart from the rest of the world, certainly countries like South Korea, Taiwan, China. Masks as part of their culture have really helped them to carry on with life and do all the good stuff that we want to be able to do.
Yeah.
And so I think it needs to come in along with this other low burden things, like it's not that hard to scan your phone when you go into a pub or a club or a restaurant,
mm-hmm.
and I think that just needs to become part of our new normal life.
Yeah, indeed. That QR code that they've been using in Victoria seems to be working an absolute treat. Are you hoping that does take off over here when the border does come down to a control border on November 14?
Well, things like that and the sewage water testing, so you can just say, hey, that's a bit surprising. You know, it seems as though we've got a fair bit of COVID in a particular suburb that we didn't know about. We better get some local testing going in there. We should be doing this already.
Yeah.
We have this thing of trying to reinvent the wheel a little bit in WA, and it's great that we're different to everybody else, but we've got to accept that a lot of other places have dealt with huge amounts of COVID, and Victoria is a good locally applicable example. We should be doing everything they're doing already and just get past the bureaucracy. But unfortunately, anything run by government is always going to be a bit slow.
Yeah, indeed. I think, yes, over the past couple of days, we've had a few days now to digest the information that the Premier presented on Friday. But I guess 2 weeks ago, they were also saying, I'm terrified, I'm fearful that we'll have, you know, thousands of deaths and things like that. Is it for some people that are understandably a little bit scared about how things may change on November 14? Is it too fast and too risky, or is the timing just right and are we ready in case of any type of spike of outbreak?
Look, I don't think there was ever going to be a good time, and no, we're never going to be completely ready until we face it. I still think we've got enormous problems with aged care preparedness and the gaps between Commonwealth and state control, and also we have problems with getting general practice properly involved in hospitals for response. But those are things we can continue to work on, and if we do see some outbreaks, hopefully we'll be able to track and trace them. And this is a leap of faith. It is still possible that we will get an outbreak that will lead us into a lockdown, but we know that lockdowns in Australia do work, and we know that Australians are cooperative with them. So whilst that would be devastating for our community, I don't think that's a likely outcome of what we're doing at the moment, but that is our backup plan, and that's one thing we're good at.
Yeah, indeed. Let's park COVID for a minute, because there's a damning report that's been issued by the AMA of WA about Perth's major public hospitals. They've been given an F for management of staff rosters and all type of admin things like that. Can you explain a little bit about the rationale behind this?
Yes, of course. Well, it's not entirely divorced from COVID, of course, because these are systems that the public would rightly expect will be running in top-notch condition at the moment, and some of our hospitals are doing very well, and places like Perth Children's Hospital and Joondalup did pretty well in these report cards. So it's not across the whole system, which tells us that things can be done better. And for a long time now, we've seen some sliding results in the way that junior doctors are feeling about their workplaces, the way they're being treated, and we certainly see that in the seniors as well. But this one is about 800 of our trainee doctors, the future pipeline of, and also the backbone of a lot of the workforce that's out there working at the moment.
Yeah.
And really pretty devastating on morale, culture, the way they're not being able to get leave. And if you can imagine, you're trying to plan a life event for one of these young people, might be a wedding. And we have one doctor who got told a few weeks beforehand, well, we've had a look at your application for leave for your wedding that you put in a year ago, and you can have one day off, which is the day of the wedding.
Oh, fantastic.
And it's not that uncommon, of course, as you can imagine. You don't get a chance to meet lots of different people, that two of these doctors might be trying to marry each other, and that then becomes incredibly difficult. So that's just an example of the kind of issue that they're facing, and they work high pressure jobs, they work long hours, and they're happy to do that. They understand that's part of the deal. They study for high stakes exams, and they pay tens of thousands of dollars to sit those exams and lose their money if they fail, and they accept all of that. But not being able to get a couple of weeks off at some stage during the year means you run those 52 weeks of the year, you don't get to go to Christmas, and then you go straight back into it in January knowing you face another year of that. So we don't want these people to leave our system. We don't want them to go interstate and work in other places now that we've invested such a lot in their training. And we're an isolated place. It's, to uproot your family and come and live here is not that easy. So we need to address these issues. We need a fair go for our junior doctors, and we've tried bringing this to the attention of the Director General, Dr. Russell Vice, over the last few years. These reports have been sliding. We've brought them to the attention of Minister Cook over the last few years, and they say, well, we'll do what we can, but we're just not seeing results. So that means that there needs to be some urgent change to the way we're treating these doctors.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people and critics would probably raise their eyebrows, specifically now we're in the middle of industrial negotiations for a whole range of issues in the health system. Now, there is a new payroll system that's been funded to fix this. So Ben Wyatt, the Treasurer, said this morning.
Yes, that's, government IT is not always what you want it to be. They told us some time ago this was all going to be sorted out, and hopefully that will be delivered sooner rather than later. But we've had years now of people being paid the incorrect amounts pretty much consistently. Our doctors know that their pay slip will be wrong each fortnight. And I think in the context of wage theft problems that we're seeing around the country with other big corporations having to step forward and say, yes, look, we accidentally underpaid a whole lot of people. Government's got to do something like that. It's got to come up with the money that it hasn't paid people in the past. and saying that we've now approved funding for a new payroll system, mm-hmm. everyone knows that that's code for, yeah, we probably better sort this out, but we haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
So we've got to turn up the heat on the government on this, and we're aware that in other states there are law firms who are setting up class actions mm-hmm. to recover this money from government. We think it would be better if they just were able to, you know, get their bureaucratic act together.
Yeah.
Again, this is in Dr. Russell Voss's territory.
Mm-hmm.
He's the Director General. It's on his desk. So just if you're going to overwork people and never give them leave when they want it, at least pay them
yeah.
for the work that they're doing for our system. And not forgetting, we don't have COVID yet.
Yeah,
so if
indeed.
We're trying to attract other doctors into our system at a time of workforce shortage when we know that we might run into trouble recruiting from Ireland and the UK, and which are our common, you know, backup plans, then now is not the time to be really cheesing off this large and incredibly important part of our workforce.
Yeah, absolutely. As well as the young doctors and senior doctors and everyone in those public hospitals, you and I have spoken many a time about a bit small issue that I'm really passionate about is the Sexual Assault Response Centre. How are negotiations going with them to ensure that they're paid adequately?
Well, the government have kicked this one into the long grass as well. They've said, well, we're having negotiated for 2 years. Now, don't forget, this is the equivalent money of 3 full-time positions. So we've got 10 doctors, and they work part-time, 24 hours a day, they're on call for sexual assault victims across mm-hmm. the state. The government has been saying to them for 2 years, we're going to give you a massive drop in pay
mm-hmm.
Because we don't think you're proper specialists. And now they've said, oh, well, we think we've got another process for another 18 months, we'll be able to give you a verdict on it. Not good enough on an issue like this. The Premier originally had fixed this with an attraction and retention bonus a long time ago, and then they took it away.
Mm-hmm.
Different Premier, of course, took it away. So I think the Premier can fix it again. So I think the people of Western Australia should make their views known to the government that this kind of symbol of the way public servants in general get treated, the way our nurses get treated, the way our allied health and other hospital workers get treated, the way our police get treated to a degree. It's just not good enough in a wealthy state like Western Australia, where we're declaring a surplus in the middle of a pandemic,
mm-hmm.
for goodness sake, that you cannot look after the people who look after the vulnerable in our state.
Yeah.
So when it comes to the Sexual Assault Resource Centre, we're hoping for that to be sorted out soon. But if it's not, then I'm going to start some sort of more public campaign about it, Jenna, because
right.
I think the women of Western Australia are a little bit tired of being told that this is a second-rate service and they're not specialists.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more with you. AMA WA President Dr. Andrew Miller, we'll keep in touch. Thank you so very much for your time on this busy Monday. We'll chat to you again soon.
Always good to talk to you. And, of course, on the bright side, there are new episodes of Bluey out. So
there are.
For a piece of proper Australian philosophy, make sure you catch them this week.
Indeed. Look forward to you joining us again for medical information and also some TV criticism. AMA Prez, Andrew Miller, thank you so very much for your time.
Thanks. Talk to you soon.